Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. Jake, I cannot hear myself in the headphones. Are we working here? Okay, you can hear me?
I can hear you.
I can't hear myself. Let me grab these other headphones real quick. I'll try them. Maybe they're working. Hello. Oh, wow. That is a lot better. Although some folks might argue that was the best 10 seconds we've ever had in show history right there. You couldn't hear me, and the ratings went through the roof. All right, ladies and gentlemen, man, it is a beautiful, glorious Monday. All right, it's the Adam Carriker Show. If you didn't know, now you know. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join us. The mic was my friend for a week, and we're back to our daily battle now, but that's okay. All right, what you're going to get 4 days a week, grab your lunch, come join us. From guys who strive to be smarter than the average dumb guys, you're going to hear, what I should say is you're going to hear Husker sports, college football, sports in general. What you're going to get is unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Every day I come in here and I'm like, man, this is a loaded show, because it is. We've got men's basketball, we've got women's basketball, we've got baseball, we've got softball, tennis. DP's been bringing on the tennis coach every Wednesday. We got tennis to talk about, Husker wrestling, mollywops Indiana, take that, Kurt Cigarette. And then at the top of the hour, Matt Rhule did an interview with Josh Payton. They've already put out a clip. I think the full interview drops later today. Put out a clip, and basically Matt Rhule talked about trying to maintain elite standards despite mediocre success so far. And we're going to play that clip, and then Jake and I are going to dive into that. I got some thoughts on that, as I always do. Carriker's Trivia Challenge is going to be back at the top of the hour. We're going to move it back to that noon hour. And I'm not going to lie to you. I almost forgot. Like, when I was a kid, I used to mark. I know it's Valentine's Day weekend, because it's always been Valentine's Day weekend. I used to mark the NBA All-Star Game and the slam dunk competition. And I remember, wasn't it Craig Hodges that won like three in a row at one point, the three-point competition? I used to mark that on my calendar. Admittedly, I remember maybe a third of the time now, but we're going to talk about that because I have seen it. All right. I got to admit, I really think the Nebraska football slam dunk competition, although the winner of this one was pretty good. He did a pretty good job. All right. It was actually pretty impressive. We're going to talk about that as well. Nate Robinson, who was not in this year's competition, but a guy that I played against in high school and then went on to play football and basketball at the University of Washington, then went on to the NBA, won three slam dunk competitions during his career. I came across something I did not know about him. He's got one heck of a story that I was not aware of. Kind of an inspirational type piece. Despite being 5'9 and playing in the NBA and winning slam dunk competitions, he had to battle his entire career health issues. Serious health issues that I don't know that many people knew about, and I certainly did not. But we'll talk about that as well. But right off the top, Jake, how'd your Valentine's Day weekend go? I got to know. How'd it go?
Well, it went all right. Again,
all right.
Well, we're not. We're waiting. We're still waiting until tonight of all nights. Apparently, the snow might crash in on us. But that's we were planning on tonight to be kind of be our celebration. So I haven't. I didn't experience too much of it. But I did. I mean, I went to a party. You know, I spent some time with family. So it was still a Valentine's Day weekend. Just waiting for me and my wife to get some alone time, which we don't get often with the kid. You know, as you know,
a Valentine's Day party.
Yeah.
I haven't been to one of those since I was in like elementary school. What are those like for grown adults? What's that? What happens there? Exchange of candy and heart notes? What goes on there, Jake?
Yeah, we brought a bunch of candy. It was, my wife's from the Philippines. So people like local Filipino people get together because they like, you know, feel like it's back home. So they get together for a lot of different parties. So we go to a lot of these parties and so they're just looking for an excuse to throw one and Valentine's Day work. So we all got together, did some dancing, had a good dinner, exchanged candy, all that sort of stuff. So it was a good time.
I like it, and I hope the snow does not ruin your alone time with your wife, Jake. We're all rooting for you to have that alone time. So I got to, since we moved back to Lincoln, all right, it's been really cold as you would expect. Hey, no shock there. My biggest complaint is there hadn't been enough snow. I'm like, I love snow. Like, I want snow. I think until a couple of weeks ago, we had a dusting on Thanksgiving Day, and that was it. And so I was legit like, I want more snow. I love, and I'm probably in the minority on this, but my philosophy is, and I love Nebraska. We came back here for a reason. This is home. We are happy. We wish we would have done it sooner. My wife and I, the family. Kids have adjusted really, really well, honestly. Even the older ones, which you never know how it's going to go. When they're in high school, they're older in middle school. The younger ones, you're like, ah, they'll be fine. The older ones have done really, really well. The kids have adjusted well. We had one who had a little bit of a hard time. She seems to be coming around a little bit, and which makes me incredibly happy as a parent to see. But my biggest complaint was I wanted more snow. More snow, more snow. I'm finally getting my snow. I'm curious. Do I stand alone in this more snow thing? Because I want to know from the text line. Do you, if you're going to get cold weather, if it's going to be, wasn't it like -6 one day last week or something like that? Or that's what it felt like per the weather station. Like, if I'm going to get cold weather, I want snow. Now, admittedly, as I was backing my pickup out today, had a little boo-boo with the pickup. But that wasn't really due to the snow. Just got to pay better attention, I guess. But we'll get that taken care of. All right, Nebraska basketball. You get a chance to watch the game yesterday, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I think like much of us, I almost turned it off after halftime. You know, at half, but I did stick around for the glorious comeback.
Well, what were your thoughts on the game?
I mean, like I was saying, I mean, it's a tale of two halves. Nebraska looked about as bad as they have this year, only scoring 21 points. I think that was their season low for a first half. And you know, we're down 15 points, 36-21. And even at that time, it's like they're down 15. I was thinking they're kind of lucky to be down 15 with how poorly they've been playing. They looked really bad. But then come out in the second half, I think the largest comeback, a 20-point comeback altogether in since Nebraska's joined the Big Ten, stormed back and ended up winning the game. It was incredible. Bryce Williams, I think the sixth straight game now with over 20 points. He's having one of the best seasons we've seen in Nebraska basketball history. Juwan Gary continues to be that second go-to guy, 17 points. And I think, you know, you look at some of the other roles, you know, obviously Connor Asisian still waiting for him to kind of catch fire. If he can shoot as well as we see from him on those like 5 of 6, 5 of 8 nights, then he would have the best shooting percentage of all time. So every shooter kind of goes through their slumps. But it's especially noticeable that Braxton Mia, after riding the pine a little bit, being put toward the bench a couple games ago since the Bearkay injury, and he's had to sit out. I think you've gotten a better Braxton Mia, or at least maybe even the Braxton Mia that you expected when he was coming in from Washington. So altogether, just a great performance for Nebraska in that second half, a terrible one in the first half. But either way, you get the victory and you move on. Nebraska's still well positioned to make a run in for the NCAA tournament.
Did you know that Nebraska only led this game for 152, the shortest amount of time in a win under Hoiberg? I actually thought it was less than that until I saw the actual stat. They are now, all right, basically the worst 25 minutes that they played all year was the first 25 minutes of the game. Probably their best 15 minutes of the entire year, effectiveness-wise anyways, was about the last 15 minutes of game. Nebraska is now 6-7 versus quad one opponents. Had I told you before the season, hey, with just a few games left to go in the year, Jake, Nebraska is going to have 6 wins versus quad one teams, 6-7. Obviously, not 500 or over, but 6 wins versus quad one teams. What would you have thought? What would have been your reaction? Like, hey, that's good. Hey, that's not good. That's about what I would have expected. Because to me, I feel like it's a little bit better than I would have expected.
Well, it's just a lot of, you know, I like the analytics and all that, and I know how much the quads mean, but it's just kind of silly to me that a win over Northwestern on the road is the same as beating Illinois or, you know, something like that. So I don't know. I mean, I traditional, I guess. I like top 25 wins.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I view things. But I know that these things are important. The net ranking, the quad, you know, all that fits into it. So I guess not being so great with the quad system, I would have said, yeah, that sounds all right.
You're not supposed to phrase it like that, Jake. Jeez. No, we want a quad one win. That's what matters. That's all that matters. Hey, I will say this, because, and this goes to college basketball, it goes to college football, it goes to rankings across the board in any sport. I think it's a little bit of a misleading stat to say, hey, we've got X amount of ranked wins, because one team could have beaten the number 20th team in the country, and then let's say they beat number 28, 29, 30, and 31. The next team could have beaten, I don't know, the 21, 22, and 23rd team in the country, but then they didn't play anybody else in the top 50. Who do you think has a more impressive resume and a better strength of schedule? Because one team only has only beaten one ranked team. The other team has beaten three ranked teams. Yet the team with only one ranked win has actually beat six teams inside the top 30, while the team with three ranked wins has only beaten three teams inside the top 50. So when people just go straight to ranked wins, I'm like, it's a little bit misleading, because you see it in college football sometimes. And so to your point, actually, like saying Northwestern, and they're a good team, they have the most amount, with all due respect to Northwestern, they're not an easy team to beat. They have the most amount of one possession losses of any team in the Big Ten. So they play teams tough. It's down to the wire. Their overall record is not what they would want it to be, obviously. All right. They're actually 13-13 overall before 11 in the Big Ten Conference. So they're not an easy team to beat. And on the road, and then they get up, and they're playing well, and Nebraska's honestly playing just god-awful. So god-awful that Fred Hoiberg had a fight with the whiteboard at halftime. With all due respect to Fred, I think the whiteboard won, but the team won at the end of the game, so in the end, who cares about the whiteboard? Nebraska basketball won, and that's all that matters. But, so to me, I think sometimes ranked wins are a little bit misleading, and I think quad one wins, while it's interesting that Northwestern would be on the same level as, like you said, beating an Illinois team or something like that, when Illinois is clearly the better team, I think it broadens beyond just, hey, ranked wins. Because I think sometimes in college football, like especially the SEC, I'm not trying to take shots at the SEC, but they'll have all these ranked wins, and then they won't have beaten anybody else in the top 50. Because half their schedule is like never heard of you, I don't know, Occidental, which is a real college in California. Went to high school with a guy who went there. He got kicked off the team. Story for another day. Like all these universities you've never heard of, but hey, they got those three ranked wins. Let's just disregard the other games that don't matter. So to me, I like to look at the schedule as a whole and not just pick and choose. Hey, this team's ranked. That matters. That matters. That matters. I think quad one, while not the perfect system to look at, or quad two, the quad system, I think it gives you a broader base beyond just top 25. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Like I get the idea behind it. I just, you know, it's similar to like, okay, what is there a quad 1A if you beat a, you know, a team that's actually a top 10 team like on the road?
Like, yeah,
you know, there's still different ways to narrow it down. And so, you know, again, I'm traditional top 25 in that. And I do get what you're kind of saying. And you know, there's always teams, especially at the beginning of the season, you get a top 25 win, a team against a team that's ranked 13th. They finish 500, you know, should that be a top 25 win? So there's no perfect way to do it. None of these in college sports, it's hard to get equal scheduling, factor in injuries. It's all really tough to kind of figure out who has the better resume. But thank God they're fighting over 68 and 69 getting into the tournament, I suppose. And that's kind of the big deal behind it all. But and well, I know we'll talk about it later. College football looking at expanding their playoffs. So, I mean, I think that we'll maybe more of that will hit to college football. More, maybe we'll get some quads system for college.
I don't want to see quads in college. I don't want to see quads in. We're going to. It's going to be. We will get to it. I had that on docket for tomorrow. Because basically, long story short, ladies and gentlemen, it's dropped what we already knew. So it officially is coming out what we already knew, that they're going to expand the playoff to 14, if not 16 teams in 20. Well, is this the 2025 season? 2026. Like it's going to happen. They're going to 14 teams, if not 16. And I was going to save that for the show tomorrow. We'll still save it for tomorrow. I could argue, I don't like the 16-team format. I could argue the 14-team format is actually better than 12, and I'm a person who didn't like expanding to 12, but I'll save that for tomorrow. We can dive into it tomorrow. I can explain why. part of it is the conference championship games will actually matter. You think Oregon's glad they won the title in the Big Ten? You think Ohio State gives a crap that they finished fourth? I hate that that doesn't matter.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What we believe is going to happen in college football, which we will dive into tomorrow, actually, even though they're bringing more teams in, so you're going to see 3-loss teams every year in now. Okay, once this does expand in 2026, whether it's 14 or 16, so you're devaluing the regular season more, but what I believe they're going to do and what's being reported will actually place more emphasis on the conference championship games and things that actually matter. Because right now, Lane Kiffin flat out said, I don't want to play the conference championship game. Oregon, dude, if I'm Oregon, I might have been like, hey, let's play our backups. You know, man, let's flip with Ohio State, although they still would have played Ohio State maybe if they're the 8th. I don't know how that would have worked out. We got to fix a lot of things. But what's actually being proposed, I actually kind of like. And we'll get into it tomorrow.
I'll say this real quick, though. Watch out. The SEC is doing well in basketball. They might want 10, 12 automatic bids to NCAA tournament. That might be coming around the corner, too.
I know you're joking, but I also know that you're kind of not, and I don't like it. I don't like it, Jake. All right. So back to college basketball here, Nebraska. I will say this, and let me ask you this. I asked you this, so give me a genuine answer to this. Because the rankings, there's human bias in it, because it's human beings that are voting on these rankings, whether it's college basketball, whether it's college football. So let's just go to college football for a second. Every year, the SEC has like X amount of top-ranked recruiting classes, okay? And, hey, they get a lot of talent. They get a lot of guys in the NFL draft, and they have all these hypothetical wins, and then we play actual games, and they lose like they did last offseason with the exception of one time they had a big win in the bowl season. That was Ole Miss. That was really it. Other than that, they kind of had a really rough offseason. By the way, South Carolina's head coach is still like demanding that they should get more teams in the playoff. Because it's a whole nother league that they're in. They're just a whole nother level above. I wonder if he'd like to have a chat with Brett Bielema. And maybe they can exchange some hand signals like they did during their bowl game, because that seemed to go so well for him. But here's my point. I think it starts with recruiting. And recruiting rankings matter to a degree. You got to develop, et cetera, et cetera. There's coaching. I know you don't like analytics as much, but there is game planning. There's adjustments within game plans. How do you handle injuries? How do you adjust to what they're doing, what they're not doing, et cetera? All right, guys earning spots versus being handed spots. But if these SEC teams start with all these high-ranked classes, then they start with all these high rankings in the preseason poll, which probably should just be done away with. If you look at preseason polls versus the polls at the end of the year, they're so drastically different. It's not as a 7, as a 8, Jake. It's as a 9. It just is. But the human bias starts with the recruiting rankings. then it's the preseason rankings, and then the SEC teams get all these ranked wins, okay, and then they play Timbuktu that you've never heard of, and then to me, the bias just never stops. So to me, that's why I like going beyond just the top 25 or the rankings, whether it's college basketball, excuse me, or it's college football, because I'm going to, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink real quick. I'm going to come back to my original question. What resume is more impressive to you? The team that beats like the 21, 22, and 23rd ranked team in the country and then doesn't play anybody else in the top 50. Nine teams outside the top 50. Let's say it's a college football schedule. And the next team plays number 20, and then 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31. So they play basically six teams inside the top 31, and they beat them all. Let's just say these two teams have relatively the same records. Which resume is actually more impressive to you?
It would probably be the second one, because I don't think there's all that much of a difference between team number 20 and team number 28, even though the top 25, you know, would split that difference.
No short answer.
Yeah, I mean,
if you've got more, go ahead. I don't want to cut into your time.
No, that's what I get your point. I mean, more quality victories against quality teams, even though some of that other resume might have a few higher ranked teams, but it's not by a lot. But then once you start to get into like the top, then I think that's where you can get the difference. And I mean, all these resumes and arguments about rankings and stuff, I get that. But it's all kind of fun because we're talking about, well, this team should be ranked 15th instead of 19th or something like that. Usually there's a pretty clear, especially in college football, top six or seven teams, you're going to be like, oh, and usually top four, top three, you know, you can kind of figure out those are really the teams. But as we expand this playoff to 16, you know, if you get that far, then it is more important to distinguish the 15th best team and the 19th best team.
So again, we'll dive into that more tomorrow, but we're letting more teams in, which just on the surface level, I don't like. It devalues the regular season more, which I've talked about on this show before. But I will actually explain why I like what they're doing better than what we currently have. It doesn't help that what we currently have is not great at all, to put it kindly. And this is actually, I don't even think a step up. I think it's potentially two steps up because of what it's going to actually emphasize. And one thing it's going to eliminate is the importance of the college football playoff committee. Things will be a lot more settled on the field. But again, we'll dive into that tomorrow. All right, Nebraska basketball, at one point, they had a 1.8% chance of winning the game. Northwestern had a 98.2% chance of winning the game at a certain point on Sunday. All right. Let me get back on track here. By the way, as I thumb through some of my notes, don't ever go to a massage parlor with Deshaun Watson or Justin Tucker. All right. Next thing, moving on. More things keep coming out, and I'm just like, good Lord, what's going on? All right, down 20 early in the second half. Nebraska is, again, 20-point comeback. Okay. Probably played their best 15 minutes of the entire season. As you mentioned, Bryce Williams now has six straight 20-point efforts. That is the longest streak by a Husker since Tyronn Lue. I should have turned this into a trivia question, but too late. Since Tyronn Lue, 97 and 98 is when he did that. All right. Nebraska outscored Northwestern 66-14 down the stretch to pick up the huge win. So what this signals to me is games like this, games like the Oregon game on the road, when you can find a way, even if you get down early, to battle back, those games almost mean more to me than just blowing out really bad teams. Like, I love what Nebraska softball is doing right now. They are just blowing teams out. They had 20 home runs over the weekend. They outscored their opponents by 60 runs, 69-9. Okay. Jordy Ball throws the first no-hitter since she came back from injury as a Husker, the 41st no-hitter in Nebraska softball history. Now, I want to see them play more consistently. Great win versus Tennessee, number six in the country to start the year. Then, unfortunately, they lost to a ranked Texas Tech, a ranked Mississippi State. Okay. And in games that were pretty competitive. But since then, they haven't had tough competition, and they're blowing these teams out as you should. If you're a good team and you're not playing great competition, like Northern Colorado is one of the teams, you should blow them out. You should stomp a mud hole in them and walk it dry. That's exactly what you should do. But sometimes those gritty wins, those ugly wins, finding a way when it just looks dire to come back and win, especially on the road, and a team that is better than their record indicates. And it's weird because you don't think of Northwestern as being a decent basketball school, with all due respect. Okay, they're 4-11 in the Big Ten. All right, when I say that, probably not a lot of people are shocked, but when you look at their schedule and how close they've been, it reminds me of Nebraska's football schedule over the years. Like, they're just right there. They're not an easy team to beat. Those types of wins actually mean more to me sometimes. All right, you got any final thoughts before we go quickly to women's basketball? When we come back, we'll talk softball, baseball, wrestling, tennis, etc. Anything there, final thought-wise on the basketball thing there, Jacob? I called you Jacob.
That's right.
Jake.
That's my
son's
name.
Jacob, but Jake.
just that, with that win, too, that's three straight road wins for Nebraska in the Big Ten. That's very difficult to come by at all, you know, at this level. So Nebraska has dropped a few at home as of late, but now making up for those on the road.
Yeah, actually, it's their seventh win away, including neutral site games, away from Pinnacle Bank Arena or their home court, which is the most they've had in 25 years. All right, final thoughts on my end. Bryce Williams, as we mentioned, reached double digits fourth in points for the 24th time in 26 games. Okay, he now has six straight 20-point games. I already talked about that from Tyron Lue from before. Six quad one win of the season. Nebraska improved to 5-5 in road games, as you mentioned this year. 7-6 away from home, including neutral site games on the season as well. All right, Nebraska women's basketball had a tough night. Sometimes I can't figure these teams out. We have our best win last week. I guess you call it the best win. Basically, it's the first time we'd beaten a top 17 team on the road since 2013 when we beat A&M on the road that year. They were a top 10 team, I believe number 9 in the country in 2013. We go on the road. We beat Maryland. They're a ranked team, I believe 17th in the country. Big win. And then you come back, and Illinois is a pretty good team. I'm not disrespecting Illinois in any way, shape, or form. That is a good basketball team. But you come back, and it's like, can we just string a few of these together? Nebraska men's basketball, you know, has been able to string some together, unfortunately. Six losses, then four consecutive wins, but now they've won 5 out of 6. Can we get the women to string a few together on their end? Unfortunately, all right, they were not able. They fell behind early. Alexis Markowski tied her career high with 28 points, including 12 in the fourth quarter. She had a great game. All right, Illinois answered with a huge second half. All right, and they really, if you watch this Illinois team, I think they're a team that could potentially make some noise in the NCAA tournament. I think they've kind of flown under the radar a little bit. Okay, were you able to watch this game at all, Jake?
I was not, but it continues to be the case that if Nebraska men win, then Nebraska women lose. Nebraska women win, then Nebraska men lose. So.
Yeah, so I was able to catch a little bit of this. I think Illinois is a team that's kind of flown under the radar. They're known for being a good team, but I think they can make a little bit of noise in the tournament. But it'd be nice if we could kind of string a few of these together. I do think Nebraska women's basketball has the potential, much like they did a year ago. They made it all the way to the Big Ten championship game, lost in overtime to Caitlin Clark in Iowa to make a bit of a run in the Big Ten tournament. They beat A&M last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament, got to the second round. I think they have the potential to do these things. They got to do enough to get in to begin with, okay? And they got to find, it's that C word that I keep coming back to on a lot of things, and that's just the consistency, and that's the hardest thing to find. It's not unique to the women's basketball team or I mean, I've said it for the football team. I've even said it for the men's basketball team. When I brought on the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll, he equated it to trying to stay healthy if you're trying to lose weight. I'll tell you, if you're trying to put on weight, for me, it's someone like me, it's a lot easier to put on weight. I mean, I can eat a bunch, lift a bunch. That ain't hard. You know, it's going the other direction. It's a little bit challenging. But the word consistency is the biggest thing that separates whether you're a player, a team, from being below average to average, average to good, good to great, great to elite, elite to all time. It's that word consistency, because it's the hardest thing to find, especially over the course of a long season or over the course of a college career, a professional career. All right, just got to string together some consistent performances. And I think if the women can do that, I do think they've got what it takes to make some noise. Britt Prince has shown, even as a true freshman, she is a player. She's got an insanely bright future. Alexis Markowski's one of the best players in the Big Ten Conference as a whole. They've got some key pieces. Amy Williams, all right, 250 career wins at the University of Nebraska, really good coach. They've got what it takes to make some noise, but they got to string together some wins, some consistent type play over the next few weeks so they can get in. All right, any final thoughts into the Big Ten tournament, but into the NCAA tournament. Any final thoughts before we had to break there, Jake?
Just that they're you know, you look at their schedule remaining. Oregon at 9-6. That'll be a big one here on Wednesday. You know, kind of another team in their area in mid Big Ten. But if you're talking about stringing together wins, it is kind of, if they can get that win, you finish off with Washington and Northwestern. Northwestern 1-11 in the league. Washington 5-9. So the opportunity should be there to finish strong, because they've lost 5 of 7. Like you said, big top 25 victory the other day, but it would be nice to kind of string together wins, get some momentum going into that Big Ten tournament.
Both these teams have done well versus ranked teams, the men's and the women's. I almost, like, when I look at who we're playing next, oh, they're not ranked. Oh, I almost want them to just play ranked teams now. We seem to play better versus ranked teams. And I'm like, oh, they're not ranked, we're in trouble. Oh, they're under 500. Watch it. Watch out. You know, it's like, if they're ranked and they're like, whatever the record that Maryland had, like 19-6, I'm like, all right, we're going to play well tonight. You know, it's kind of weird how that works out. It shows the talent is there. The consistency, work in progress. All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.